that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in our sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 14th Sunday after Trinity, Samaritans and Judeans, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. I hope that's right. The Judicians, whatever. This year, we mark the 78th anniversary of the beginning of World War II. I was not alive during that war, but I know that one of the lessons we can learn from it is that when ethnic prejudice is allowed to run wild, horrible things happen. The success of the movie Schindler's List and the popularity of the Holocaust Museum on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., are helping to make the same point. The Archbishop was younger than me. I was around for the war. There was a tremendous amount of ethnic prejudice in first century Israel, the society in which Jesus lived. Various Hebrew laws taught the Jews that anyone who was not a Jew, that is to say, anyone who was a Gentile, was unclean, and that associating with a Gentile could make a Jew unclean also. The New Testament tells us that the Jews reserved for the harshest ethnic prejudice for a group called the Samaritans. Given the way human nature operates, it is probable that the Jews hated the Samaritans particularly because they were so much like them. That is the same phenomenon I recognize in myself when I am out in the world. Say at a cocktail party. If someone says to me, I am a Methodist, or I am an atheist, or I am a Roman Catholic, I'm likely to smile and say, oh, that's nice. But if someone says to me, I am an Episcopalian, I find getting on the defensive and ready to become belligerent if it seems indicated. We tend to have the hardest time with people who are like us, but not completely like us. The similarity and dissimilarity between Samaritans and Jews stems from events which began to take place about 1,000 years before Christ. When King Solomon died, the kingdom of Israel split in two. Solomon had not been able to produce a son who had the strength to keep the kingdom together. The more northern tribes formed a confederacy which became known as Israel. Their capital was the city of Samaria, and their people were called Samaritans. The southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin formed an alliance which they called Judah. The capital of Judah was Jerusalem. God gave Abraham Israel as the promised land, I suspect, because he knew that the geographical location of Israel meant that things there could never become dull. Any Asian power which wants to get into Africa has to come through Israel. Any African power which wants to make inroads into Asia has to come through Israel as well. Assyria was the first nation which tried to make a military conquest of Israel after the kingdom divided. They were never able to defeat the southern kingdom of Judah, but they succeeded in overrunning and subduing the northern kingdom of Israel, Samaria, in roughly 722 B.C. Assyria then embarked upon a massive program of deportation and colonization. Many Israelites were moved bodily to Assyria, and many Assyrians moved into the conquered territory of Israel. When they started worshiping their own gods, the God of Israel sent lions to kill them. So the Assyrians decided that they should try to worship the God of Israel along with the gods they had brought with them. That created a mongrelized religion, which was, of course, abhorrent to the jealous and exclusivistic fellow we know as the God of Israel, the Father of Jesus. The accommodationist syncretistic religion the Samaritans practiced was accompanied by intermarriage between Assyrians and Jews. So the holier-than-thou residents of the southern kingdom came to regard the Samaritans as people who tried to pretend that they were Jews, but who did not really measure up. Our strongest prejudices are reserved for those who are most like us. So you can see that today's gospel, as well as one of Jesus' well-known parables, are given a further twist by the fact that the heroes are both Samaritans. The parable is intended to make us realize that we have an obligation to help anyone who needs it, making the supreme example of a helper, a Samaritan, was especially pointed for Jesus' original audience. In the same vein, today's gospel lesson tells us the story of how Jesus goes into a village where 10 lepers call to him for help. Jesus yells back, "Go show yourselves to the priests," yelling at each other because if they get too close, Jesus will become contaminated. He tells them to go to the priests because it was the priest's job to certify that someone had recovered from leprosy enough to be able to rejoin polite society and public worship. The willingness of the lepers to go to the priests showed they believed that Jesus was healing them. If they went to the priests while they were still unclean, they would contaminate them, an even bigger violation. As the lepers approach the priests, they are indeed healed. But only one of them comes back to glorify God and thank Jesus. By now, it shouldn't surprise you too much that the grateful leper was a Samaritan. The gospel encourages us to ask Jesus for help, especially for physical healing. But it also reminds us to complete the circuit and thank him. The point is not that the Samaritans were, in fact, better than Jews. The point is that Jesus came to earth to save everybody, and that anybody can respond to him with faith and good deeds and gratitude, even Samaritans, even liberals, even Episcopalians. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, both now and forever. Amen.